So as people, you know, are taking already probably taking down their Christmas decorations, even though we know that Christmas is just getting started, it's a reminder for us that almost everything in our lives will pass away. You know, my house, my cars, my savings for sure, my health, you know, they're all going to pass away. The only things in my home that will never pass away are my soul, the soul of my wife, the souls of my children and my grandchildren. That's why Jesus didn't come to save our houses and cars and all of our technological gadgets, because all of those, they're going to pass away. He came to save you. He came to save me. He came to save those whom we love. And yet, how much time and effort do we spend making sure our souls are secure compared to how much time we spend protecting our stuff? It's very significant that when God came into the world, that he didn't come as a 30-year-old man ready for his mission. Rather, when God came among us, he was born into a family. He grew in age and wisdom and grace in a family. Why? Because God gave families so that we can have our salvation fashioned. That's why today's feast, this feast of the Holy Family, isn't just some quaint little sentimental celebration. As the Catechism teaches us, it says, the family is the community in which, from childhood, one can learn moral values, begin to honor God, and make good use of our freedom. The family, with its rights and responsibilities, not the individual, is the reference point for understanding who we are. Hear that again. Did you catch that? The family, not the individual, is the starting point for deciding what is it we should value? What is it we should protect? How is it we should live? It's why the Catechism goes on to say that civil authorities should consider it a grave duty to acknowledge the true nature of marriage and family, to protect and foster them, to safeguard public morality. Unfortunately, the protection of marriage and family and the safeguarding of public morality is no longer the goal of many of our civil authorities. Therefore, it's always been our responsibility, but we have to make an extra effort to safeguard our families if we want people to learn how to live by moral values, to learn to honor God, to make good use of their freedom. Which is why it's not just to have families. Having families is great, but it's important that we have holy families. What does it mean to be holy? Please recognize that holiness applies to individuals just as much as families. Just because today's the Feast of the Holy Family doesn't get anybody who's single or maybe who lives away from their family, that doesn't get you off the hook. It doesn't excuse you from God's plan. Furthermore, as a member maybe of this parish family, you can join other associations of people who gather and create family-like relationships, such as in our Bible studies, our That Man Is You program, our Curcio groups, the book clubs. Nonetheless, it's families, especially holy families, that have an important place in God's plan. The Hebrew word for holy, kadosh, literally means to be set apart for God's service. You know, that's what Hannah did with Samuel, set him apart specifically for God's service. Families are set apart for God's purposes. Your family is called to be a light for the world. As we hear, you know, in Matthew's gospel, nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel basket. It's put on a lampstand to give light to all those in the house. Holy families are God's plan for the sanctification of individuals and society. This is why husbands and wives are given a sacrament of vocation. Matrimony is a sacrament of vocation so that the love between a husband and wife doesn't stop at the walls of their home. Family members are called not only to show Jesus to each other, but eventually to the outside world. Secular society wants us to put our light under a bushel basket to keep it to ourselves. Secular society wants our faith to be a private affair so that sin can abound without Christians speaking the truth to them. Which describes you and your family? Fitting in or set apart? Bushel basket or lampstand? How wide of a circle does your family's light illuminate? Your marriage? Your family? This parish? Does it illuminate your workplace, your school settings, your recreational circles? Does it include people you don't know? Does it include people you don't like? Here's a simple secret that Pope St. John Paul the Great gave us. He said, faith is strengthened when it's given to others. Faith is strengthened when it's given to others. Our light becomes brighter when it's given away, when it's put on a lampstand where it can get plenty of oxygen. It doesn't matter to whom you give it. Faith is strengthened when you give it away. But how do we begin to set ourselves apart? That second reading is a great list of what family holiness can look like, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but I find it very encouraging and yet challenging, because I read St. Paul saying, put on heartfelt humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. I mean, yes, I want those things in my home, but you know what? Then that requires me to exercise more forgiveness within my own family, to have greater patience when things don't go my way, to have authentic humility in serving my family. Bearing with others, that's hard too. You know, does it mean that I have to deal lovingly with all the quirks of the people in my house? Absolutely. How about this simple one? And be thankful. Are we thankful people? Do we thank God for the life he's given us? Are we thankful even with the heartaches and the trials that have come our way? Or are we bitter, self-absorbed, demanding? What kind of a customer are you at the grocery store, at the restaurant? How often do we complain about minor inconveniences and discomforts? St. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you teach and admonish one another. Yes, I want the word of Jesus to fill me, but will that word lead me to help others to know him? Are we willing to teach others? Are we willing to remind them of the truth? Are we willing to point out sinfulness in a compassionate manner? Which best describes you and your family? Bushel basket or lampstand? None of those, you know, when I go through that list, none of those sounds particularly difficult, but if you've ever tried to live them, you know how much it involves sacrifice, of accepting the cross, even among your family members. And you're probably saying, especially among my family members, right? Nevertheless, the family is the safest place to practice these virtues, to develop these good habits. And then our families become a base of operation for us to fulfill our mission. I particularly want to highlight, though, that the involvement of men is critical. The sociology data shows that if a mother only takes her children to church, the likelihood of that child participating in the faith is 2%. So if the mother goes and the father stays at home, father's not active, 2%. However, if only the father is involved in the faith of the children and the mother is absent, that number climbs to 44%. 44%. Versus 2%. Men, your involvement is vital. We have to stop excusing ourselves from participation in the life of the church. There's a sobering parable of Jesus that should make us all consider seriously God's mission for us. A king announces a wedding feast ahead of time, prepares the wedding feast, and then goes to welcome his subjects in. But many of them begin to excuse themselves for legitimate but less important reasons. Oh, I've got to take care of my business. Oh, family just came into town. Oh, I just got married. If the king's wedding feast was important enough, if the honor of the king was important enough, they would have arranged to be there. In the end, there were citizens of that king's realm who ended up being excluded from the wedding feast. Will you and your family be inside or outside of God's eternal wedding feast? How can you be sure to be on the inside? By striving to be and to live as a holy family. Our families exist as beacons of holiness so that others will see our love for each other, our respect for each other, our generosity, and desire it from themselves. The good news is we don't have to save the world. That's already been done. But God has called us to do our part in shining his light into the darkness. The world needs what we have. Pray for the grace and the courage to give it away.